day, I know when we will gather with people from every nation, tribe, language, and people, and we will worship together with a new song in heaven surrounding His throne, and what a day that will be. All the earth, people from all over the earth will worship together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, Father, it is a wonderful thing that through Your Spirit, through Christ, we have access to You, that we can worship, that we can give You glory and praise and honor. As we read today, You're so worthy of praise. You are God, the one true God. Who else is like our God? No one. And so we come this morning to worship, to honor You, Lord. Lord, especially in Your Word, Father, what a blessing it is to have Your Word as living and powerful and active. It knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts, Lord. And so we come with great expectation that You are going to meet each one of us where we are and speak directly into our lives. And Lord, I pray that You would have Your way, that Your Spirit would have reign in our hearts this morning, that we would be receptive to Your Word, and our response, as always, will be obedience. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you with a bookmark so you can find that passage. Not only is India totally different in culture, it's extremely different in smell. There have been many times walking down the streets in different places in India where I've had to, alongside of drains, open drains, where I've had to really control my gag reflex. One of the things that masks the smell of this is the aroma of incense. See, every home, every shop in the morning opens up their shop or opens up their home with the burning of incense to his or her idol, a sacrifice to false gods. And smelling those smells reminded me of the days when I walked the streets of Sri Lanka. It's amazing how different smells bring to mind particular memories. It's amazing how God created our smell and how that works. The science behind fragrance is incredible. If you ever start looking at the science behind that, it's unbelievable what they do and how they create different smells, different fragrances for different things. In the oldest of civilizations, we see the use of perfumes and fragrances. What started out as a way to mask body odor has turned into a multi-billion dollar industry. A person's emotions, a person's mood, even a person's behavior are affected by different fragrances. And so in this passage, Paul uses an illustration about fragrance to point out a truth about us. First, we are more than conquerors in Christ. Look there at verses 12 and 13. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. See, God was leading Paul on mission to take the gospel to the nations. God had led him to Troas. He'd opened this wonderful door to preach the gospel there. And this would normally be an exciting time of ministry and celebration, sharing stories of what God did in Troas, just like we shared this morning about India. But Paul was burdened. He was overwhelmed with anxiety by issues going on in the church, the Corinthian church to be exact. Paul was writing another letter to the church in Corinth. And he was also waiting a response from Titus about how they had responded to the instruction given in the last letter. The issues of sin in the church were so serious that it warranted a strong reply from the Lord, a strong rebuke from the Lord. And Paul was concerned how they were going to respond to this rebuke. He was eagerly waiting to hear news from Titus, but Titus was nowhere to be found. Although he had this amazing open door to share the gospel, he couldn't overcome his grief and concern for the church. Now, Paul says here, my spirit was not at rest. He was tore up about these issues because he had a deep love and concern for the body of Christ, for these believers. He wanted to see them walk in the fullness of Christ, to experience all those spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Instead, they were caught up in sinful acts, character issues and divisions, and this brought about an overwhelming grief, and it weighed heavy on Paul. He wasn't even able to continue walking through this amazing door. It says that he took leave and went on to Macedonia. And there he eventually caught up with Titus and he received the good news he was praying for. And we see it later on in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, verses 5 through 7. I'll read that. For even when he came into Macedonia, even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. We were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforting by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice still more. Humanly speaking, things were falling apart. There were no cell phones, there were no internet, no social media for Paul to find out what was going on in the church in Corinth. From the previous report, the future of the church looked bleak. But there's the God factor. We sometimes overlook this. See, God was at work, and we see from Titus's report that God uses this rebuke to help strengthen and purify the church. How many times do we see that happen in Scripture? Remember the resurrection, that early Sunday morning when those ladies came to the tomb filled with anxiety and disappointment over what had happened, only to find that a great victory had been won. Jesus had defeated the grave. And we look back to Joseph's life and all the different things that he had to deal with. It would normally make a person lose hope, but God steps in and he turns it around and brings a great victory in his life. How many times do circumstances and trials we face seem completely hopeless until God steps in and changes everything? God works in ways that we can't begin to understand. He's all-powerful. He's sovereign. And He is intentionally working in each one of our lives according to His plans and His purposes. Jesus, as He intentionally worked in Jesus' life when He was on the earth, He sends us out and He works intentionally in our lives to lead us, to guide us to specific people, specific places. And we saw this when we went to India and the pastors and how they received the encouragement, how they were downcast, discouraged. The Lord used that. Another lesson we learn here is how issues in the church bring about pain and anxiety in the lives of others in the body. They may keep the gospel from spreading as it did with Paul, because we're all part of the same family, the one family of God, each a part of this particular body. What we do affects everyone else. Just as it did with sin, the sin of Achan in the camp of Israel. Especially if we have the kind of love that Paul had for the body. There are no lone followers of Christ. You are adopted into God's family. We're part of one another. Therefore, we must love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must love them as Christ loved us. We must show each other grace and mercy that Christ showed us. We must live in a way that honors God and does not hinder the mission of the church. What we do affects everyone. Even with all that was going on, though, Paul did not lose heart because he had an enduring faith that trusted in God's promises. We look sometimes at what these people are going through that we were ministering to, these pastors, and we as Americans can't even begin to grasp the gravity of their situations, the circumstances that they face on a daily basis. We can't begin. We're overwhelmed by just listening to it. But just like Paul, they're not overcome. They have an enduring faith that trusts in God's promises. He knew that in Christ he was more than a conqueror. Romans 8:37 says, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." God is working in the midst of our lives, and it is the love and his empowerment that he gives us in Christ that supports us, enables us to face whatever trials, whatever circumstances that we face and conquer them. God is able to take the worst of circumstances and somehow bring good out of them. Watch the news or look around us. The world is full of horrible, horrible trials and circumstances. God empowers us so that we are not overwhelmed by the world, but that in Christ we are conquerors with Him. And at the same time, He uses us in His plans and purposes to save others. That's why he writes here in verse 14, "But thanks be to God." See, Paul knew that whatever he was, wherever he was, whatever he was doing, whatever circumstance he faced, he was the aroma of Christ to all those around him. We are the aroma of Christ. Whether it's here in Buckingham, on the other side of the earth. Look there in verses 14 through 16. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? You see, in Christ, we are led in triumphal procession. A triumphal procession was something that the Romans, they completely understood. But today, we have a hard time understanding the mental picture behind what Paul was saying here. You see, when a victorious general returned home from battle, Rome gave him a huge public parade, not quite like the parades we have today. The parade was filled with pomp and glory, and there was a great deal of incense that was burned in honor of the hero. And you could smell this incense, this aroma, throughout the entire city. In this parade were the victorious soldiers who marched along, celebrating their victory, accepting the glory given them by those who cheered them on the streets. But then there were also slaves and captives who marched to their death. They would eventually end up in the arena fighting the wild beast. For the victors and the Romans who were watching the parade, the incense was a sweet fragrance of joy and life and victory. But for those captives, it was an incense, a fragrance that reminded them of pain and suffering and their certain death. Paul uses this familiar Roman parade to describe the Christian parade. You see, in God's parade, Jesus Christ is the victor. Through His death and resurrection, He has conquered all the enemies. He has conquered even death itself. As followers of Christ, we are with Him in His triumphal procession, because in Christ we share in His victory over death. We know where we're going when we die. We know what our eternal future is. As He rose and defeated death, we will rise with Him. However, followers of Christ are the incense. He says there in verse 14 that through us He spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Verse 15, He says that we are the aroma of Christ to God. We are like the aroma that spread throughout the Roman city. It reminded everyone that the parade of the victors was coming through. It was a sweet aroma to those who were victors, but a fragrance of death to those who were captives. In the same way, followers of Christ have been set apart as witnesses and ambassadors who spread the knowledge of God everywhere they go. To those who believe the powerful, life-giving gospel of Christ, that good news, it is a sweet smelling aroma, the fragrance of life to life, the celebration of eternal life in Christ, the blessing and the hope that we will be with Him forever and ever and ever. But for those who reject Christ, who reject His way of life, His terms to receive eternal life, it is a fragrance from death to death, meaning that if you don't know Christ, you're already dead in your sins. And without Christ, you will die for the rest of eternity, separated from God and His love. It's much like the story of Joseph in prison. God used him to give the meaning of two dreams. Now, Joseph was the aroma of life to the butler, but he was the aroma of death to the baker. What a huge responsibility for those who follow Christ. We have been entrusted with this wonderful message of reconciliation. That's what it's called in 2 Corinthians 5:19, or in other words, the good news about forgiveness of sin and eternal life through faith in Christ. In the same way this aroma spread the knowledge of the victor throughout the city, we spread the knowledge of Christ throughout the entire world. We are like a fragrance that everyone smells. Through our witness and proclamation of the gospel, we spread the knowledge of Christ. And depending on their response, God saves them or He judges them. For those who by faith in Christ surrender their lives to the gospel of Jesus, it is a sweet-smelling aroma of joy and life and celebration, just like we sang together this morning. But for those who reject Jesus, His offer of life, His free gift of life, It is an aroma of pain and suffering and death. We had a hard time spreading the knowledge of Christ to others in India, personally. Yes, we invested in 60 different churches. They will go back and train their believers, and who knows how many people will go out in obedience to share the gospel. But for us, we don't speak the right language. Every time I wanted to share, I'd asked if they just understood this one word, and they didn't. They didn't know English. There were a few people that we had the opportunity to share with personally. But these churches that we trained are no different than us. They speak the language. We speak the language of people of Buckingham. See, as we train them how to share the gospel and train others, they either obey God's word or not. Some people will say it's much easier. I've heard this many times. It's much easier to share over there. It's much easier for you to share over there. For them, it's just so much easier. And I want to laugh hysterically. It's a land filled with idol worship. For thousands of years, they have been under the bondage of idols, false gods. The bondage of Satan has so bound them in their sin, they are completely blind. Not only that, they're persecuting Christians, especially for sharing about Jesus. But we see so much fruit there. Well, yes. But that's only because they share the gospel. These churches weren't bearing fruit until they obeyed the Lord and shared the gospel. You plant no seed, a farmer knows, right, Bob? If you plant no seed, no corn seed, you're going to get no corn harvest. No soybeans will be out in the field for you to pick. On an average, if they shared with 50 people, one person believed in Christ. No sowing the seed, no harvest. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. How many times have we shared the gospel with 50 people? We are the aroma of Christ, but if we plant no seed, we do not spread the knowledge of Christ anywhere. And therefore, we ceased to be this wonderful fragrance of life. Our sin has faded away and lost its aroma. Paul finishes up with a question: who is sufficient for these things? The answer is no one. No one. None of us have what we need in ourselves, in our own strength, to do this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, just the next chapter, Paul says in verses 5 and 6, he says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant. Well, I can't do this. I'm inadequate. I can't. But our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. It is only by God, the Holy Spirit, that we have the power to be the aroma of Christ, spreading the knowledge of His glory throughout the world. Remember, He is the one who changes us from the inside out. Remember, we talked about the sanctification process through Colossians. He is the one who sanctifies us, turns us into His holy witness. He is the one who gives us all the power we need to follow Him, to glorify Him. He is the one who empowers us to share the gospel, to make disciples. Finally, He is the one who draws people to Himself and saves them. We don't save them. He does. He saves them. He is the one who draws these people. He is the one who empowers us to share the seed of the gospel, to be that aroma of the knowledge of Christ, salvation. And He is the one who saves them. He takes that message, that powerful gospel that is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, and He saves them. He adopts them into His family through faith in Christ. He uses that powerful word. You may pray, and as we do, we pray for our list. We pray for the one that God is drawing, that wants us to meet, to love on, to care for, to share with. And they want nothing to do with the gospel. That may be the case. You try to share in different ways, and Their response for the moment is rejection of Christ. Do you know what this means? It means we continue to pray, we continue to love, we continue to wait patiently for God to open their heart, but we no longer spend the majority of our time with those people. Which means that you start looking for others who might be open to hear about Christ. We are the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ to all people. Everyone, all 17,000 people in Buckingham County need to hear the gospel. Clearly, from a holy, Christ-like witness, someone who shows that they love and care for others, they need to hear that full gospel, not just something about Jesus, but the whole gospel. They need to hear that. They need to see it in our lives. They need to have an opportunity to respond. We start to look for others. Everyone in the city smelled the aroma. Everywhere you go, you are His witness of a holy Christ-like life, and you are His witness of the proclamation of the gospel. Because in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes through hearing the word of Christ. They must hear the gospel. It's not just enough that you live a holy life. That is very important. You have to proclaim that good news. That's why we have discipleship, because we want everyone to be prepared, equipped, ready to go out and share at any moment, at any time, with anyone. But we must be careful to keep a check on our heart's desire and motives, because we are not peddlers of God's word. We're not salesmen of the gospel. Look at verse 17. We are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. There have been some accusations about Paul's credentials and his motives. And here Paul is making sure that they know his motive for preaching the gospel. He says, we are not like so many who peddlers of God's word. You see, in Paul's day, there were already people taking advantage of Christianity for personal gain. It's very sad that in our day, there are many who peddle the gospel. In other words, their motives are greed, money, and personal gain. They abuse the ministry of teaching and preaching of God's word as a means to get rich. There are many false teachers in our world today that counterfeit the gospel. I think Randy preached about this last week. We must always keep a check on the motive of our hearts when it comes to ministering to other people. Now, we may not be in it for the money, but there are many other ways that we can abuse the role that we play in the ministry of God's Word, in the ministry of Christ. It may be a motive for personal gain, as in finding your identity and serving on a particular committee, a certain position in the church. Your motive becomes something entirely different than serving Christ for His glory or for the benefit of the body. You may start out with the right motive, but as you receive recognition for a job well done, you may begin to starve for that attention. Because maybe you don't get it at home or anywhere else. You don't get it at your job. And so you start to starve for that attention, that acceptance, which will lead you down a road of serving with the wrong motive for the wrong reasons. Paul names three things here that prove his true motives in ministry. First, he was a man of sincerity, which means to be pure of heart, free of hypocrisy. Paul had a sincere heart, a sincere love for the church, for those who did not know Christ. And we see that in this passage, his sincere love for Titus, his sincere love for the Corinthian church. He was willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, for the proclamation of the gospel. He went to prison. He went through all kinds of things. It's truly apparent that he was not in it for personal gain. We don't see him gaining anything personally but suffering and persecution. Are we sincere in our motives as we share the gospel? Are we just trying to share with someone so that we can say that we did it? So that we can check off a list of things that we need to do in order to obey Christ? It may be that we share about Jesus, but we never really share the gospel. Do we truly care about people? Are we burdened because we don't want to see them perish? Are we burdened for them because we want them to experience the fullness of Christ, walking with Christ as we do? What's our motive for sharing the gospel? Paul also stated that he was commissioned by God. We see this, this clear call that Jesus spoke at the beginning of his salvation, right? At the moment of his salvation, this call was spoken to his life. Jesus tells him. We see his calling to the nations. It's proven by the works that God did through him as he ministered to the Gentiles. Paul again and again, over throughout his letters, reminds the church of his commissioning by God. Do you as a follower realize that you have been commissioned by God as well? You've been commissioned by God. We've all, as believers, followers of Christ, we've been commissioned by God. He has commissioned every one of us to make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's the mission of the church. We are the church. He has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, 19, right? We're supposed to help others be reconciled to God. Help them find a relationship with Christ. We're sent out as His witnesses, Acts 1:8. His ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20. As a follower of Christ, you have been commissioned to join Christ in His work to take the gospel to all peoples. And we don't do this by our own authority. We do it by the authority of Christ. He has all power and authority, and He has commissioned us to join Him in His work. We're commissioned by God. Paul also states that he also ministers in Christ in the sight of God, which means he knew that God was watching him, that he knew the motive of his heart, the true motive, and that one day he would be judged accordingly. Paul knew that he could not hide anything from God. He knew that he would one day stand before God and have to give an answer for the spiritual gifts that he gave Paul. The power that he gave him to endure, the word of God that he gave him to minister to others, the love that comes from God that he placed in his new nature to love the believers and to love the lost. Fact is, each one of us are going to face that. There will be no secrets kept from God. He's all-knowing. He knows what's going on. He knows the motives of your heart. This gave Paul reverent fear of God. It brought about the sincerity in his heart to his desire to serve the church for the glory of God, to be faithful to God in all that he does, to be genuine in all of his motives. Do we take being a child of God for granted? Does it overwhelm you? If you could walk the streets, some of these streets of India, and be surrounded by idols and the incense that they burn, seeing it in every vehicle, every shop, every store, all around you. It's hard for us to imagine here in Buckingham because we can ride down the road and not pass a car for a minute. But being surrounded as if you're in a crowd of 1,000 people everywhere you go. And all of them worshiping idols. It is complete darkness. No, that doesn't mean there's not darkness here. But just imagine being in that. Seeing the depravity. What sin has done to that culture. And then recognizing in your heart that you're a child of God. Somehow, He stepped into your life and He saved you from certain death. Do we realize the importance of what He has done, what He saved us from, and not only that, what He's called us to? Do we realize that God has certain expectations for us, every one of us? Do we take for granted our personal relationship that He has given us, the power that He's given us, the spiritual giftings that He's given you? That the spiritual giftings that He's made a part of your new nature, do we take for granted those things? That He's given you a part to play in the body of Christ, a place to serve. If it doesn't, it should cross your mind that God has sent you. He sent you out. Every morning you get up and you go out your door, wherever you work, wherever you live, He sends you out and He is intentionally working in your life. He's working not only in your life, but all the people around you. He is doing things, using circumstances and trials and things in their lives to draw them, to convict them of their sin. The Spirit has been poured out, bringing conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then He's using all of that. And then He's leading you. He wants to lead you. So we need to abide with Him, so that we're sensitive to the Spirit's leading, so that we can be led by Him, so that He can intentionally work through us to spread the knowledge of Christ to the people around us. He is intentionally working in your life. I often think of Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Your Heavenly Father is intentionally working in your life to bring about His intended purpose and will for you. He has great works, great plans, great purpose prepared for each one of you. He wants you to walk in that. There's great blessing. There's great hope in that. There's great peace. There's great joy. Unless we decide to walk our own way, we'd rather do it the world's way. What are we missing out on? In Christ, you are more than a conqueror. God empowers you so that you can overcome the world, that you can overcome every circumstance in life. In Christ, you are conquerors with Him, and at the same time, He uses you for His plans and purposes. As a follower of Christ, you are the aroma of Christ. Through our witness and proclamation of the gospel, we spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Depending on their response, God saves them or judges them. For those who by faith in Christ surrender their lives to Him, if they find faith in Christ, they surrender their lives and they entrust their lives. It is a sweet-smelling aroma of joy and peace and life and celebration. But for those who reject His plan, who reject His free gift of life, it is an aroma of pain and suffering and death. When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? The whole gospel. You know, we are sinners, every one of us. And our punishment for that sin is death. But let me tell you, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came to the earth. He lived a perfect life. And on the cross, where He was crucified, He took all of your sin, every bit of it, your punishment of death. He died in your place and was buried. 3 days later, He rose from the grave, defeating death and sin. He lives to offer you the free gift of life and eternal life. Free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. If you believe in what He did, how He rose from the grave, if you confess Him as Lord, meaning you need to turn from your old life and you need to entrust your life to Him, He now leads you. Put your faith in Him. That's the gospel. Very simple. That's the full gospel. If we leave out any part of that, it's going to be confusing. If we leave out any part of that, if they don't know that they're a sinner, why do they need a Savior? If they don't know the punishment is death, why can't I just live the way I live? If they don't know how Jesus came and died and sacrificed Himself, there needed to be a blood sacrifice for their sin. Somebody had to die. He died. If you don't know that, then they won't see the love of Christ. If they don't know, they actually need to believe in Him and then confess Him, meaning repent and turn away from their old life and follow Him. How are they going to respond to Jesus and His free gift? We can't leave any of it out. We have to share the full gospel with people. You know, Jesus loves you. Yes, He does. Jesus can heal you. Yes, He can. Jesus is there for you always. Yes, He is. But that's not the gospel. Got to share the full gospel. When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? The follower of Christ is not a peddler of God's word. In Christ, we have sincere love from God for all people. Believers in the church, people outside the church, we are commissioned by Christ to join Him in His mission to save the world. We seek every day to be faithful to Him. We live our lives as holy ambassadors before Him and the world. Because one day, we will stand before God and we will be held accountable. We'll be held accountable for the gifts, the spiritual giftings you were given, the salvation He gave you, the power He gave you, the place He placed you in, the people He surrounded you with. We'll be held accountable for that one day. We serve God because we love Him and He saved us and we want to share with others. We want His glory to be known all over the world. However the Lord is working in your heart this morning, respond to Him. Don't let this direction of the Holy Spirit, this and whatever He's impressing on your heart, don't let this pass away. Don't just close it up. Let's sing a song. Let's go to the river and do a baptism. I got things to do this afternoon. Speak with the Lord as we sing this song. Let Him have His way in your heart. As the worship team comes, make sure that whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, don't take it for granted. The God who created this world is speaking to us through His Word, through the power of His Holy Spirit. Let's respond to Him this morning.